I greet you all in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
I'm already touched in my heart. As we feel the presence of God in our
hearts.
And we just praise the Lord for the time He has given unto us this morning. To share His precious word with you. I'm not a special person. I'm one of the least of the servants of the Most High. But God gave me a very, very special privilege in my lifetime. And I look back to quite over 50 years. Going right back to 1949. When many of you were not yet born, I had a tremendous experience with the Lord. It was just an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in 1949. So in 1949, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And from that time, I had a desire to serve the Lord. And to preach His word. And the first years were done with evangelistic ministry. Then followed the teaching ministry. And finally the prophetic ministry. Now I take all three together. There's never a service without calling people to dedicate their life to the Lord. And especially as we're going to speak today also about the second coming of Christ, let me tell you right at this very moment, when Christ returns, our bodies will be changed. But if our heart is not changed now,
amen,
our bodies will not be changed then. If you go to the Old Testament prophets, especially to Jeremiah chapter 31, to Ezekiel chapter
11,
the Lord promised to make a new covenant. He promised to give us a new heart, a new spirit, a new life. So this must take place first. We must experience the grace of God. Justification cannot only be a teaching, it must be an experience. To be born again must not be a teaching only, it must be an experience. The baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot just be a teaching, it must be our experience. And we all must be able to say, as the Apostle Paul was, in Galatians chapter 2, I'm crucified with Christ. Now I live no more, but Christ lives His life for me.
Then the teaching ministry is also very, very important. Before the return of Christ, all things must be restored to where they were at the very beginning. Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega. He never changes. He's the same yesterday,
today.
And the New Testament church remains the same. With all the ministries, with all the gifts, with all the fruits of the Holy Spirit.
And
according to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 to 18, when Peter received the divine revelation who Christ is, our Lord said, upon this rock I will build my church. We need divine revelation.
Amen.
We need divine revelation. Everything that comes from God comes by divine revelation. And before our Lord sent his disciples to teach the nations, he taught them 40 days about the kingdom of God. And after his resurrection, then he sent them to teach others. We now need God-ordained men in the church of the living God. As the Holy Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, God has placed the different ministries into the church. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, we're all baptized into one body by the Holy Spirit. But the second step is those who are led by the Holy Spirit. They are the true children of God. We live in a time where there are millions and millions who are baptized in the Holy Spirit. But the Catholics remain Catholic. The Lutherans remain Lutherans. The Baptists remain Baptists. I even read a testimony of a Catholic nun where she says, after the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I can glorify Mary even more than ever before. Just forget it. Just forget it quickly. That's not the true baptism of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will glorify Jesus Christ. We have to discern the spirits. Today, the people say Christ is here and Christ is there. Christ is in his word. And the true children of God are in the word of God. You will have to forgive me, but I need to touch on many subjects and many scriptures. Many years ago, I was preaching very forcefully. But when you pass the 70s and you move into a little, you know, you're just more sensitive. But just before we go into the Word of God, I wish to give you a very brief testimony. I already told you about
1949.
And from that time, I made many of the world-renowned Pentecostal people. I translated for David Duplessis. I made Gordon Lindsay. I made Demas Shakarian. I translated from most of the renowned American evangelists. I knew Oral Roberts. G.L. Osborne. Two, the Pentecostal movement could not be put into any percentage. Not 1% of each country were Pentecostal, not 1%. But after World War II, on May 7, 1949, when the Lord called Brother Branham divinely and commissioned him, God used him to spearhead this last healing salvation revival. His ministry was evangelistic, teaching, and prophetic. And just like John the Baptist was the promised prophet at the first coming of Christ, this man of God was told on June 11, 1933, in the presence of about 4,000 people, a supernatural light came down visible to everyone present. And from the supernatural light, the voice spoke to Brother Branham. As John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, you are given the message of the Word of God, which will forerun the second coming of Christ. In 1955, Brother Branham came to Switzerland in Germany. And I had the great privilege to be in his service. I make it very brief. What I saw in these meetings was the same as recorded in the four Gospels and in the book of Acts. I saw the born blind be healed in one moment. I saw Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today. I saw Bible days with my own eyes. I can say as the Apostle John could, what our eyes have seen and our ears have heard from the Word of Life. That we speak unto you. And our beloved brother read from Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. The blessing is pronounced upon those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book. So now we're at the end of the end time. And just a few references to a few subjects. The first one, the prayer was already done, so we can share the word with you. Because of the tremendous singing and rejoicing, I was reminded on 2 Samuel chapter 6. When David was dancing before the Lord, and I wish to draw your attention to one most important fact. The Ark of the Covenant with the Word of God in it was brought back to the city of David.
Amen.
So they, the Ark of the Covenant was brought back. Without the Word of God in that wooden box. That wooden box had no meaning. But as soon as the Word of God was placed into that wooden box, it is called the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Word of the Covenant was in it. We are vessels, but only if the Word of God is in us. That is what counts. So make sure in this place that you don't only sing and dance, that you do dance and sing for a biblical reason. For the great reason that the Lord has brought His Word back to His people. That's very, very important. If you go to the next chapter, one of the main promises about the Messiah is being given in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. This goes together with Psalms 2, verse 7. Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And these two scriptures go together with Hebrews chapter 1 verse
5,
where they are mentioned from the Old in the New Testament. But you have to go to 2 Samuel, to verse 2, 1 Samuel 21. To know the purpose, what happened with David at that time. There were times when men of God were dancing. And there were times when they fell on their faces praying. Read 1 Chronicles 21, from verse 15 to 18, and then verse 25 and 26. David bought the Temple Mountain for 600 shekels of gold. And it was the same place where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. The same mountain Moriah where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. According to Genesis chapter
22,
it's the same place where David bought from the man Ornan.
Yeah.
But I don't wish to remain with it. I just read it to you. From 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1. I want you to see the harmony of the word of God. And also Old and New Testament in a complete harmony. I read 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1. Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. Where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite.
Lapho uJehova abonakala khona kuDavide uyise nalapho eselungisile khona endaweni kaDavide esibuyeni sika Ornani umJebusi.
Our subject today is the return of Christ. Our preparation to meet him, to be ready when he comes. And I wish to emphasize the importance of God's word in its original form. In the beginning was the word, not the interpretation. There's only one original word, but many interpretations there are. Life is in the word of God, death is in every interpretation. You must never add a single word to the word God spoke. And this takes us back to Genesis chapter 2, the last verses. And to Genesis 3, the first verses. In Genesis 2, the Lord God had said, you may eat from all the trees except from this one. And the enemy added one word, the word not. And said, did God say you must not eat from all the trees? The adding of one word separated from God brought all sickness, all sin, and everything that come upon the human race. One single word being added. Not only spiritual death, but physical death. How did Brother Branham emphasize the importance of God's holy word? But if I tell you today that traditional teachings are accepted as though they are the true teachings of the original word, but now the time has come when the covenant word of God returned to the church of the living God. And we have to understand what God promised for our day. The New Testament began with the fulfillment of the promises and prophecies from the Old Testament. John the Baptist was a promised prophet. Isaiah 40 verse 3 says, a voice cries in the wilderness, make straight the way of our God. In Malachi chapter 3 verse 1, I will send my angel before my face to prepare my way before me. Isaiah lived 800 years before Christ. Malachi lived 400 years before Christ. But when the time was fulfilled, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, announcing the birth of the Savior. But there had to be a forerunner, someone to prepare the way. So first the angel came to Zacharias. And please get the point. Whenever God fulfills his promises on earth, the supernatural will take place. And it would always be contrary to what all the people were taught and where they had been brought up into. Luke chapter 1 tells us that Zacharias was serving the Lord in the temple. And suddenly the angel Gabriel stood at the right hand of the altar. And saying, your wife Elizabeth will have a son. And he will be great before the Lord. He will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to prepare the ways of the Lord. Verse 17, and to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and to make a people ready for the Lord. God does not speak to our heads. God speaks to our hearts. We don't eat from the tree of knowledge. We eat from the tree of life. Divine orientation is given by divine revelation.
Amen.
Based upon the promised word of God. True faith anchors into the promised word of God. The best example is Abraham. And the best record of it is in Romans chapter
4.
Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. When did he believe God? When the Lord God gave him the promise. His body was dead, Sarah's body was dead, and he was 75 years when the Lord God gave the promise. And he didn't look at what was seen, but he looked at the unseen. It was not he that need to worry about the fulfillment of the promise. God is responsible for every promise he made. But we have to believe the promise. Only then the promise will be fulfilled with us.
2
Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. All of the promises of God in Christ are yea and amen. Not without us, through us. Because God fulfills whatever He promised. Remember the first promise? In Genesis 3, verse
15.
That the seed of God would come through the woman to bruise the serpent's head. Remember the promise? Remember the promise God gave to Abraham? After 400 years, I will bring your people out from bondage. When the time was fulfilled, God Almighty came down. Because there was a promise. And God keeps His promises. And when He fulfills His promises, the supernatural takes place. Heaven comes down. And God makes history on earth. And the Lord God said to Moses, I remember my promise. I've seen the affliction of my people. And He said, I will send you and I will go with you. The God of Moses is our God. The God of Abraham is our God. There's only one God. And He's our Heavenly Father. Glory be to His holy name. My beloved brothers and sisters, the importance to know God's promised word for today cannot be overemphasized. The main promise is in Malachi chapter
4.
That the Lord God would send somebody like the prophet Elijah before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And it's so important to hear and believe every word of God. And before you read 7 times in Revelation 2 and 3, whosoever has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. You read in Matthew 13, verse
9,
when the Lord presented Himself as a sower of the good seed, and when He was sharing the mystery of all the things He said, who has an ear, let him hear. The same is in Mark chapter 4, verse
23.
If any has an ear, let him hear. The same is in Luke chapter 8, verse
8.
When our Lord had His teaching ministry, He wanted the people to get what He was saying. And He also made the statement, if they don't understand what He said, the enemy comes and takes it away. And it has always been the trick of the enemy to take the word away because we don't understand it. And then He leaves us with many interpretations. So it's very important to get the word by divine revelation. Let me repeat a number of times. Everything that comes from God comes by divine revelation. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and to whom it will be revealed. It's divine revelation. And divine revelation doesn't come where professors are teaching. Divine revelation comes where the Holy Spirit becomes the teacher. Because our Lord said, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will tell you, He will teach you all things. He will remind you of the things I told you. He will tell you the future things. And when John was on the Isle of Patmos, he saw what would take place in the course of the 2,000 years. He looked into the future. He saw the church ages. He saw all the things which will come right unto the new heaven and the new
heaven.
I tell you the truth. There has never been a time on earth when the word of God was revealed in such a marvelous way. And I tell you today, and I hope nobody will be angry with me, but if all Bible schools would be closed today, if all Bible seminars would be closed today, there will be no damage to the kingdom of God. In fact, they have closed the doors and they don't go in and don't let the people go in. Because they teach what was taught through hundreds of years. Here is the point. We don't go back to what church fathers were teaching. We don't go back to Athanasius. We don't go back to any Augustine or whatever the names have been. We don't go back to church councils. We don't go back to the first pope, who was made pope in the year 441. I don't believe anything the pope ever said. I believe what Jesus Christ said. So we don't even go back to what Martin Luther said. He said many wonderful things, but he did not touch the Bible doctrine. I read all the 95 theses. I was searching for the subject about the Godhead. I was searching to know if it says something about baptism, or about baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I was so disappointed. He was a great man of God. God used him mightily. And it's 500 years ago when God opened the Roman prison, and when the liberty was given to God's people. If there would have been no reformation, If there will be no Martin Luther, no Mr. Zwingli, no Calvin, not one of the others, there would not have been a John Wesley. Not the other revivals would have followed. So God made a new beginning. The first steps only, the first steps only. And in each revival, the Lord brought his people closer and closer to the Word of God. And 100 years ago, there was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit all over the earth. The Spirit of God fell. But as I said, 50 years ago, when God called Brother Branham, that was the beginning of the end. Now the Lord is restoring everything back to his church. We are not in the days of reformation, we're in the time of restoration. You want the scriptures for it?
Amen.
I'll read them to you. In Matthew 17,
we are told from Matthew 17.
And you remember the word which taught. Matthew 17, verse 11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things.
Wapendula wathi, nempela uElia uyeza uyakubuyisela konke.
Now I want you to get this one point.
Ngifuna ukuthi lokhu nikuthole kahle.
And Jesus answered and said unto them. His answer is my answer. I don't go to any man, I don't speak to flesh and blood. I don't ask any pastor of any church, what is your opinion about this promise? With the things of God, you don't go to men, you come to God. You must get your answer from the Word of God. And there was Moses and Elijah. They were on the Mount of Transfiguration. And the disciples were not asking about Moses. They were only asking about Elijah. The ministry of John the Baptist was long finished. He was the Elijah of his day. But 2,000 years have come and gone. And the great day of the Lord, which shall burn like an oven, has not yet been. Beloved, it's so important to read the Word of God precisely. And to have divine revelation upon it. The first part of the Malachi 4 promise was fulfilled in John the Baptist's ministry. He returned the hearts of the fathers to the children. But the second part remained unfulfilled. That the hearts of the children now are taken back to the hearts of the fathers, to the
beginning.
God's word is so precise. But sometimes only part of a verse is fulfilled and the next is being fulfilled in another connection.
bese kuthi ingxenye ethile igcwaliseka kweninye futhi vese.
If I tell you today,
uma ngingasho kuwe namhlanje,
that the Roman Church has changed every Bible doctrine,
ukuthi isonto laseRoma liguqule yonke imfundiso yaseBhayibheli.
There is not a single teaching in the Church of Rome which is biblical. Not one.
Ayikho imfundiso yaseRoma ephathelene neBhayibheli, ayikho neyodwa.
Worldwide, I give the challenge, and with this book, I can stand the test.
Umhlaba wonke ngiphethe le ncwadi ngingabelana nanoma ubani.
But here is the problem.
Kodwa nayi la inkinga ifike bekhona.
Many who came out from the Church of Rome,
abaningi abaphuma kuleli sonto laseRoma,
took the teachings of the church with them.
Baphuma nayi imfundiso zakhona lapha eRoma.
And now I have to say,
manje angikusho lokhu,
that just a little leaven will spoil the whole top. So we have to understand,
manje kumele sikhone,
we must not only come out of Babylon,
akumele ukuthi siphume kuphele eBabiloni,
but we must take the confusion out of us. We must become a new creature, a people of the living God. The ark of the covenant must be brought back to the people of God.
Amen. Isivumelwano somkhumbi kumele sibuyisele kuNkulunkulu.
The true word of God.
Izwi leqiniso likaNkulunkulu.
About the Godhead.
Ngokuba uNkulunkulu ubani?
Water baptism.
Ngokubhapathiswa emanzini.
About the Lord's Supper.
The sipho senkosi.
About the first resurrection.
Ngokuvuka kokuqala.
About the return of Christ.
Ngokubuya kwaKristu.
About the second resurrection.
Ngokuvuka kwesibili.
About all these Bible teachings.
Nangakho zonke lezi ifundiso zeBhayibheli.
We must go back to the word of God.
Kumele sibuyele ezwini likaNkulunkulu.
And let me just give you an example.
Now umzekelise ngifuna ukukunikeza wona
of how important it is
ukuthi kubaluleke kangakanani
not to repeat what denominations have taught throughout hundreds of years
ukuthi ungaphindi lokhu amasonto abelokhu afundisa ngona iminyaka eminingi
but to check it with the word of God
kodwa ukuhlole ezwini likaNkulunkulu.
The man in Rome says he is in the apostolic succession.
Uthi lendoda elena eRome yena ungolandela abapostoli ababekho.
But the Bible doesn't speak about any apostolic succession.
Kodwa iBhayibheli akukho la iveza khona ukuthi khona omunye ozolandela
abapostoli. The Bible only says and they remind in the doctrines of the apostles in fellowship in the breaking of bread. Acts chapter 2 verse 42.
Isandla sasibili ku 42.
And the Bible says,
lithi iBhayibheli lapho,
in Ephesians chapter 2.
Kwabase Ephesians sasibili.
The New Testament church is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets.
Lithi ibandla leTestamente elisho lakhiwe ku foundation yabapostoli.
Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone.
UJesu Kristu kuyena dwala elikhulu la.
But the builders rejected the cornerstone.
Kodwa abakhiphela ngaphandle lelidwala.
And they laid their own foundations.
Bakha foundation efuna ibona.
And the apostle Paul says,
uthi ke lana umpostoli Paul,
no other foundation can be laid.
Lithi ayikho enye foundation engakhiwa la.
Except the one that is laid already.
Ngaphandle kwayo le vele eseyakhiwe.
So like the people of Israel.
Kanjalo njengabantwana bakaIsrayeli.
When they returned from the Babylonian captivity.
Bathi mabaphuma egqilanzeni kwaseBabiloni.
Search for the place where the original temple was.
Babheka la indawo itemple loqalela likhona.
And they cleaned the foundations of the original temple.
Bafike basusa ukona kule foundation yalapha
eThekwini. The second temple was built upon the same foundation the first temple was built.
Itemple lesibili lakhiwa vele phezwa le foundation yayimbele yakhe.
And the same happens now.
Nalokho kwenzeka khona
the New Testament church.
The banda le testament
the same foundation the same teaching the same Holy Spirit the same word of God everything the same as it was in the beginning. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Today you have got many lords, many baptisms. Some immerse even front down. Some immerse three times front back or back. Some sprinkle, some pour. There is such confusion. But let me tell you here today, if you go back to the Old
Testament,
Genesis chapter 11, the people were building the tower, to move up to God. And then the language was confused. Can you imagine not one understanding the next? The neighbor was talking one language and you were talking another. Nobody understood nobody. But on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down, one was speaking by the Holy Spirit, and 16 different nationalities heard them speak in their own language. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
If we're brought out of confusion, we speak the same language. At least we say the same thing in the different languages. Praise and honor be to God Almighty. So on the day of Pentecost was the inauguration of the New Testament church. The price was paid on Calvary. I was in Jerusalem 17 times. And I always go to Calvary. Even now in May, I was there. I was in the empty tomb. I saw Golgotha. I was everywhere that you can be in Jerusalem. And I'm always glad to be reminded of what has taken place. When the Son of God gave his life, when he shed his blood, the price was paid. We were redeemed. Our sins were placed on the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. And by the blood we are redeemed. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. God was in Christ reconciling the world with himself. So redemption has taken place. But now quickly to the Great Commission. And I want all ministering brethren to search with me the Holy Scriptures. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, our Lord gave the Great Commission. The ones he have taught and sent to teach were also to baptize all in all nations. With this you have to go to Mark 16. Verse 16. They who believe and are baptized shall be saved. So it's a little more precise. Little more complete. If you only take Matthew 28, you don't have the commission complete. You're only told to teach and to baptize. In Mark 16 we're told who can be baptized.
Manje bawufike encwadini kamagula utshelwa khona ukuthi ubaptisa bani.
Those who believe the preaching and the teaching.
Ubaptiswa labo abakholwa intshumayelo.
Those who believe in Jesus Christ as the personal savior.
Abakholwa uJesu Kristu njengomsindisi wabo.
They are to be baptized.
Kumele ukuthi babaptiswe.
And then you go to Luke 24.
Bese uye futhi kuncwadini kaLuka 24.
First our Lord spoke to two disciples.
Lana inkosi yethu ikhuluma nabafundi bakhe ababili.
And then he spoke to the 11.
Bese itheme iqede sikhuluma nabo bonke o 11.
And he revealed to them about what Moses said or what the prophets said about what the Psalms had said.
Wabusebambulele wakushiyo nguMoses nomprofeti namaho.
And he opened their understanding to know the scripture.
Wase uvula ukuqonda kwabo ukuthi bakwazi ukuyiqonda le mibhalo.
To know the scriptures in their fulfillment.
Ukuthi bazi imibhalo uma seyigcwaliseka.
Remember this forever.
Lokhu kukhumbula ungakuphinde ukukhohlwa.
God watches over his word.
UNkulunkulu ubheke izwi lakhe.
To fulfill it.
Ukuthi ayigcwaliseke.
Not for somebody to explain it.
Hayi ukuthi kube omunye ozolichaza.
God fulfills his own word.
UNkulunkulu ugcwalisa izwi lakhe.
But with also with these three scriptures.
Kanjalo lemibhalo emithathu sifundile.
You go to John chapter 20.
UJohane 20 nayo uhambelana nawo.
To 21.
Ufunde uno 21.
Where our Lord says, as the Father has sent me, so sent I you.
La inkosi ithi njengoba ubaba angithumile nami ngithuma wena.
And he just gave them the Holy Spirit.
Wase umupha umoya oyingcwele.
And then he made a tremendous statement.
Wase uPaula nakho okukhulu.
But this statement is also misunderstood terribly.
Bese lokhu naye akuPaula akuqondwa ngendlela.
To whom you remit sins, they are remitted. And to whom you retain the sins, they are retained.
Amen.
But beloved brothers,
kodwa bathandekayo,
with these four commissions,
kulemi yalo emine,
you must go to the first sermon preached by the apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost.
Kumele ukuthi uyele enkonzweni yokuqala lapho kushumayela khona umpostle.
The apostle Peter was there when the Lord spoke Matthew 28.
Umpostle uPetro wayekhona inkosi mayishumayela kulube.
He was present when the Lord spoke Mark 16.
Wayekhona inkosi mayikhuluma kuMark 16.
He was there when the Lord spoke Luke 24.
Wayekhona inkosi mayikhuluma kuLuka 24.
He was there when the Lord spoke John chapter 20.
Wayekhona inkosi mayikhuluma kuJohn 20.
And what was his preaching?
Bekuyini intshumayelo yakhe?
Remember on the day the New Testament church was established.
Nikukhumbula usuku iTestament elisha laqalwa ngalo.
There was one Pentecost preacher.
Bekukhona umshumayelo wePentecost oyedwa.
And he tried to bring about a difference between the commission the Lord gave and the way it was carried out.
Wazama ukuhlukanisa umyalo uNkulunkulu awunikeza bona nangendlela kumele uqutshwe ngawo.
And she made a statement I shall never forget.
Wakhuluma lokhu engingeke ngikukhohlwe.
He said, Brother Frank, Peter could have been wrong.
Wathi mfowethu Frank kungenzeka ukuthi uPetro waba nephupho.
It was just like a sword going through my soul.
Mara khuluma kanjalo kwangathi inkemba ingena enhlizweni yami.
If a preacher does not have divine revelation.
Yazi uma umshumayeli angenakho ukuvulelwa okungcwele.
Whatever he says is besides the point and hurts.
Yazi bonke akukhuluma kuyaphambuka bese kuzwisa ubuhlungu.
If Peter was wrong on the first day, the New Testament started, the church started, forget it, just go home. Close this book and go home.
UPetro wayephambukule maqala ibandla lokuqala elisha leTestament kusho ukuthi konke akukho.
He was not wrong. He was God's man of the hour. He had the keys of the kingdom. Divine authority. Divine revelation. And the first sermon is as the last must be. All the apostles preached in the same way and baptized in the same way. So the Great Commission is absolutely carried out in the book of Acts.
Lomiyalo omkhulu ke soqhutshwa encwadini yezenzo zonke.
In Matthew 28:19.
Uma ufunda incwadi ka 28 Matthew 19.
Our Lord speaks about the name into which we are to baptize.
Lana inkosi ikhuluma ngegama ekumele kubhaphathiswe ngalo.
And Jesus prayed, Father, glorify your name.
Lana uJesu uyakhuleka uthi Baba,
Father, I reveal the name you gave unto me to those you gave to me. You just read John 17. Father, keep them in my name. So God manifested himself as Father in heaven. In the only begotten Son on earth. And since the day of Pentecost by the Holy Spirit, God above us, God with us, God in us. Three manifestations of the same God. Because God was in Christ, reconciling the world with himself. And Peter, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, told the multitude, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. If we teach today what was taught in the beginning by the Apostle Peter, by Philip in Samaria, by the Apostle Paul, who says in Galatians 1, even if an angel comes from heaven and changes the gospel, the curse is upon him. But in the 3rd century, when divine revelation was lost, all the Greek and Latin philosophers had their own ideas. They were trying to understand God by their own intellect. You can never understand God. God is the eternal one. He dwells in a light where no one has access to. But at the very beginning, he manifested himself in a visible form. God himself is spirit. He is invisible. But he manifested himself at the very beginning. And that's the way he walked in the Garden of Eden, creating Adam in his own image. And that is why our Lord could say, before Abraham was, I am. The great I am. Not the I was, the I am. Brothers and sisters, there are many things we should share with you. Only one suggestion in reading the scriptures. When you read about the Son of God, leave it the way it is written. If you read about the Son of Man, leave it the way it is written. Never, never, never exchange these things. Never. Leave it how it is. Where it is. Because that's where it belongs. If you go through the New Testament, our Lord is called the Son of Abraham. Matthew 1:1. He's called the Son of David. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. A Son of God. He is Savior. A Son of Man. He is Prophet. A Son of David. He is King. A Son of Abraham. He is the heir of all things. And we are co-heirs with him. Beloved brothers and sisters, why do I say this? Why do I say
this?
If you read the four Gospels, the main emphasis is on Son of Man. Right to Luke 17, verse 30, when the Son of Man will reveal himself. Right to Luke
18,
will the Son of Man find faith when he comes? But from Romans chapter 1 to the book of Jude, the last verse, you don't find a single time mentioning about Son of Man. Not a single time. Only Son of God. But when you come to the book of Revelation, the first chapter, the Son of Man was walking amidst the seven golden candlesticks. Brothers and sisters, especially ministering brethren, it is so important to know the Lord personally and to know the Word by divine revelation, to divide the Scriptures the way it should be divided, but divide them in such a way that you get them together again. Many divide and divide, they don't get them together. So a true man of God must be called to the ministry. And if you read Revelation 2 and 3 carefully, the message was always addressed to the angel of that church. But at the end of the message,
it
never says a single time, whosoever has an ear, let him hear what the messenger says. But he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Beloved brothers and sisters, the promised return of our Lord is very near. It is not only the end time, it's the end of the end time. Just one thought about the people of
Israel.
According to the Old Testament, especially Deuteronomy chapter 4, from verse 27, Deuteronomy chapter 13, from verse 1 to 3, they were to be scattered among all the nations because they were worshipping the gods of the nations, and God just was angry because they broke the covenant word. The Lord God said in the first commandment, I'm the Lord your God, I'm one. You shall serve no other God. I'm your God. That's it. But when they were serving the gods of the nations, they broke the covenant, and God's protection was no more with them, and they were scattered among all the nations. Jesus Christ our Lord has pronounced a judgment in Matthew and in Luke and in Mark, and especially in Luke
19,
from verse 41, and then in verse 43 he says, because you missed the day of your visitation, And in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, our Lord
said,
Jerusalem will be trodden down by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Going quickly to Isaiah chapter
14,
verse
1,
to Jeremiah chapter 31, from 1 to 10, to the prophet Ezekiel, chapter 36, verse
24,
there are the promises that God will bring Israel back to the homeland. If you go to Hosea chapter
6,
we are told they will be brought back after 2 days. And in the third day they shall live in his presence. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is one day. So 2,000 years have passed. Two prophetic days. And God brought the Israelites back. 142 nations. And according to Acts chapter 13, and then you go to chapter 15, Acts chapter
15,
from verse 13, the Apostle James lays out the plan of salvation. And he tells the Lord first takes a people for his name. And then he will turn to Israel. And then Israel will be saved. So now is the end of the end time. The last call is going forth to all nations, to all tribes, because the return of Christ is near. In Luke chapter
24,
verse 50 and 51, our Lord blessed his disciples, and before their eyes he was taken to heaven. According to Acts chapter 1 verse
11,
the same Jesus will come in the same way as you have seen him go up into heaven. I already met people who said the Lord has come.
But it was saying,
I don't want to go into detail. I just give one answer. When he comes, I go. When he comes, I go. Because the Bible says, we shall be changed. Two will be on one bed, one will be taken, one will be left. Everything God does is connected to reality. The birth of the Savior was a reality. His ministry was a reality. His death was a reality. His resurrection was a reality. His going to heaven was a reality. His return will be a reality. All connected to reality. May God bless you. May you come to know the true word of God. The word of restoration. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. And a word to the ministering brethren. Take what the Lord said in Matthew 28. In Mark 16. In Luke 24. In John chapter
20.
Take it to the book of Acts. Chapter
2.
Chapter 8. Chapter
10.
Chapter 19. Take it to Romans 6. Take it right through the scripture. I don't want any minister on earth to say that the baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is wrong.
Ukuthi ukubhabhatiswa egameni lika Jesu Christ.
I want you all to understand.
Ngifuna ukuthi nonke niqonde lokhu.
There were the three titles that goes one name which is above every name.
Ukuthi lezi zikho ezintathu uNkulunkulu abizwa ngazo.
You should call his name first Emmanuel and then Jesus.
Ekuza kubiza ukuqala uEmmanuel bese abe uJesus.
Because Jesus is Emmanuel.
Ngoba uJesu uEmmanuel.
God with us.
uNkulunkulu
the name above every name. Every knee shall bow in that name. I can read to you many scriptures. But remember Acts chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. God will send the times of refreshing.
Amen.
And the completion will be. It's not my promise, it's the promise of God's word. For Jesus remains in heaven until the times of restoration of all things have come. So God sent the message of restoration, and the message is connected to the direct restoration itself. God says, I will restore unto you. This is a time of restoration among God's people. Receive it, believe it, that God has sent his servant and prophet William Branham.
Amen.
But to be honest, and I just take 1 minute, I want you to know this. I don't travel to other countries because I like it. I do it because I have to. And I'm not asking you to believe it. Because experience you have means something to you. And sometimes if we tell an experience, we're robbed of the blessings because people don't believe it. So we must understand that we have to be honest before God. But I, Brother Frank, heard the mighty, all-penetrating, audible voice of the Lord. On Monday, April the 2nd, 1962, in the city of Krefeld, Louisen Street 160, on the second floor, just before the dawning of a new day. The night was over. I got ready for the day. I didn't pray for it. And when I had looked out the window, I came back to the room, knelt down and prayed. And after the prayer, I looked to the window, and the voice of the Almighty came from the right, like this, just like this. In the German language. And every word was spoken with precision and emphasis. My servant, your time for this city will soon be over. I will send you to other cities to preach my word. Just as true as every word of the testimony of the Apostle Paul. I just collapsed. I fell to my left on my face. After some time, I regained a little bit of strength. I managed to stand on my feet. My knees were just moving like this. And I looked again towards the window. And I said, dear Lord, they will not hear me. They've got all things in plain
sight.
They are not ready to listen. I have just said these words. When the same voice, the same Lord, spoke the second time, my servant, the time will come when they will hear you. Store in food, for a great famine is coming. Then thou shalt stand amidst the people to give up the food. Brother Branham confirmed it. He repeated every word the Lord spoke to me on December the 3rd, 1962. And he said, Brother Frank, wait with the giving out of the spiritual food until the time comes. And the time came. Beloved brothers and sisters, as I said at the beginning, I'm not a special man, but I have a direct call from the Lord, an audible call, and therefore a great responsibility to let you know God's promised word for today, and to let you know that this is the end of the end time. You're such a lovely congregation. I wish to see you again when we go up. I'm not only here to preach or teach. I'm here to tell you the things to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. So you pray for me and I will pray for you. And if we don't see each other on earth, we shall see one another again. I could tell you of other experiences the Lord gave me, but that is not my purpose. Just receive God's word into your hands. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Receive divine revelation and receive the orientation within the Holy Scriptures to place all things where they should be. Bible prophecies are now being fulfilled. I wanted to mention only one verse and I stop. Matthew 24, verse 33. When you see all these things come to pass, then you know it's near, even at the door. That verse spoke so much and so forceful to me. When we see all the Bible predictions fulfilled before our eyes, we were to raise our heads, for our redemption is drawing near. And our Lord said, when you see all these things come to pass, we are the most privileged generation ever living on earth, because our eyes see and our ears hear. God bless you. Let us stand for prayer. May I ask you to stand, and we shall just pray together. Maybe there are some here who need to rededicate their life to the Lord. And I believe we all need divine revelation. We all need a new consecration to the Lord. We all need to follow in obedience to the word of God. Not only to believe, but to obey, to obey. Abraham believed. Abraham obeyed. Let us believe. Let us obey. Let us line up with the Holy Scriptures. Let us all raise our hands and pray together, and the Lord God will answer whatever your need might be. Our Heavenly Father, we commit the whole congregation to you. May the Holy Spirit come down in a mighty way. May each one be blessed, saved, delivered, healed. Lord, confirm your word with signs following, and give divine revelation by your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm asking you to be with each and every one, especially with the pastor, with all ministering brethren, and give all divine understanding and divine revelation. Lord, I claim your victory in this place, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this David, we shall rejoice, we shall dance, because the word of God returns to the people of God. Lord Jesus, we praise you, and we honor you, and we just say, be with us as you promised, right to the end. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Glory to God! Hallelujah! You may be seated. And I thank my beloved brother for the translation.
It's,
I believe it's the best interpreter in the country. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, whoever the responsible brother might be. God bless you all and be with you all. Thank you.